Well, I pray that headed towards the end, that all of our services are prophetic. And I couldn't have given Matt a list of songs that was any closer than what he had been given me to say. So just almost line on line. In fact, the very verse, loving him more than father and mother, brother and sister, probably where we'll head a little later. Because you're smart, I want to give you the inside track. If you'll lean into this, you'll go away with something that you didn't come with. Because what he's wanting more than anything else is to take you and I to another level. And the only way he can get us there is not leave us the same. He can't leave us the same. He cannot leave you in your pettiness. He cannot leave you in your indifferences. In other words, I can watch that and it doesn't affect me. I can watch little kids being sick and it doesn't break me down. I can hear a call for forgiving and I can feel like I've given enough. I can make those comments about somebody and lay down and rest real good. The only reason why he'll come and purge you is because he loves you more than words can describe. And if you cry out and say, God, take me to another place, I really want to get to know you, then what he says is, okay, here's my offer. Will you love me more than? And he goes through the whole list and he doesn't leave you out either. You have to love him more than self. So what he does is he comes and snips, snips, snips. It's always the same. It's the same purging process. Hallelujah. So lean into this. Lean into it and you'll go away. You'll go away far greater than what you came. That may make some of you have to move out of your geographical location and come lift up some hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, because so what? You're still at the family prayer center. We don't know anything else but to worship. And we'll go through a whole service just worshiping just to make the devil mad. Hallelujah. I come for a couple of poems and a sermon. Oh, I don't think so. Hallelujah. Father, I just worship you right now. And I, as one of the intercessors and elders of this body, lift up the prophetic prayer. Father, I pray that you'll add more of your men and your women to this stage to pray in the days ahead and the hours ahead, the prophetic prayers of God. Father, I call Immokalee saved. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And Father, I pray that you will exalt your name in this house, in Jesus' name. Not that we be exalted, but that you be exalted in us and through us. But I pray also that you will cause us to know and understand with all full authority that we are your hope in the earth. In Jesus' name. I pray that we will not be beaten down with a false humility, but Lord God, that we'll be lifted up in God's humility. That we'll understand that, Lord, that we are your hope in the earth. And that you have no other avenue except those who will call upon your name. You have no other choice but those that will call upon your name. Father, I pray that every warrior, every male and female in here that is called to this army, that has volunteered through their life to Christ Jesus and given themselves over as slaves unto him, will realize the authority and the integrity that you look at each one of us today in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that from the teenagers through the adults, through the worship, Lord God, through the stewardship, through the intercessors, through every part and partisan of this church, that you'll bring forth your governments and that you'll cause everyone to stand, Lord. Bring forth a unity in these days, a unity that does not come by opinion, but a unity that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I speak life over marriages. I speak life over home, life over homes. I speak life over children and teenagers. I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit will divide and conquer in Jesus' name. I pray peace And I speak peace. Be still in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for the one that is coming up and fighting past their own faults. I pray that they will not be condemned, but rather they'll set their eyes upon the one and one only that can change us from glory to glory. I release your life and hope upon them, and that they will be changed as they follow you. Now, Lord, I release your life. I release your life. I release your life into this house. Raise up your intercessors. Raise up men and women to stand on this stage with a call, with the oracles of God in their mouth and in their hearts and in their minds, that they will speak the wisdom of God over this city and over our lives. I release the glory of the Lord as it is already in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just continue to worship. Just a little bit more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, I know that I know. So thank you. And you can worshipfully, quietly be seated. And if you guys will, when you help the ladies, you'll help this as well. I believe we could get the lights. Hallelujah. We about scared Pastor Dave. Hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful? I can feel him shifting and wanting to go into the Word. I just want to worship. That's my favorite. You know what my favorite is? You know what my favorite is? Wherever he's at. If you're worshiping when he wants you to be in the Word, you're not where he's at. So you're just a... He's not going to toss you out. He'll receive it because that's who he is love. I'm big on fasting. I get my needs. Yeah. Okay. But if you should have cut off a part of your life, if he's telling you... Because the fasting is probably the most sacrificial thing I can think of, like going without meals, especially right after the holidays. Of course, you couldn't tell that any of us needed to go without. Do you believe that he was at the door and he patted my stomach and said, "How's that turkey doing?" Big Otto. I think he was being prophetic. But you said, "I'm going to do this." If he was asking you for something else, if he was asking for you to petition off just a little piece of your life and something else, and you gave him 30 days of fasting, that wouldn't be as pleasing to him as what he was asking you. What he wants is obedience, not sacrifice. You can't buy your way into this. You can't. That's the kind of walk that he wants you to walk, is a walk that is filled with relationships, so much so that, do you know you can get to the place, and I think probably a lot of you are, that just the blatancy of the Word won't even fulfill you anymore. Like, I'm talking about picking out a spot and just saying, "I'm going to read there." After a while, you get so prone to being led by the Spirit. But I'll be reading a while and think, "I got a tickle in my spirit. This isn't satisfying." I mean, it's satisfying like, you know, it tastes like, you know, orange juice should, but I'm not getting the vitamin C out of it that I should. And what he's trying to say is, hey, the leadership of the Spirit is he'll put you in the pastures where he wants you to be. In other words, where you're supposed to be headed and where you're going to minister for and to people and what's going to edify your life. So just even taking the Word blatantly, I'd rather read the Word blatantly than not at all. But you've got a counselor. His name is the Holy Ghost. And if you get up and you ask him, he'll put you in pastures where day after day you'll go to those same pastures, you'll drink and drink and drink and drink. Now listen, don't get me wrong. You can't get it wrong just by opening up and reading it. But if you want to have an inside track, know that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. He is the one. So he's not looking for sacrifice. He's just looking for obedience. Is he kind of saying something, and he wanted me to say it, and I was trying to say, I'm not going to say it because it may be me, but then he's saying, no, it's not. It's you. It's me. Now, I thought it would be me, but he's saying it's me, him. Do you know you can be giving reports like I'm winning souls, I'm winning souls. But you can be doing that sometimes like works to cover up another level of your life that's not obedient. Like, well, in Immokalee, we don't know how to say anything except just plain old Spanish and English. Getting people saved. And getting people saved is a tremendous, tremendous, there's a tremendous reward in that. But on the other hand, remember I said we don't know anything but street talk here. But sleeping around over here every once in a while, just because you're getting them saved over here, it doesn't balance out. It doesn't balance out. What he would rather you to do is stop doing this and walk in Christ and start doing the things that are pure and stop trying to worry about giving a report on the other end about how wonderful your life is and what you've been doing for God. Wow. Man, that'll shut a crowd down in a heartbeat. You got to know that you know that you know that he's wanting you to say things like that. Did you get that? Or does he have to repeat it? Have you ever run into somebody, all they wanted to do was give you a report of what they've been doing? Well, I got a witness to this one, and I got that one saved, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And then you start not trying to prod. You just know that there's some real things that are way outside of the character of Christ over there. Well, do you know what they believe? Now, this is how Satan is. Satan will get them to believe that, I don't even think they believe it sometimes like consciously up in front in the forefront of their mind. But they've been deceived. They think if they're over here doing something good on this end, that that balances out what they're doing over here in darkness. It does not balance it out. The scales are not balanced. What he wants is them. Don't worry about your evangelistic ministry until you and him can get this straight over here on this personal level. Then go on and do what he's called you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, I knew if I didn't get enough amens, I was going to go through it again. If you want me to shut up, then say amen. Not now, don't say amen. I want to congratulate our football team. I went to the second round of the playoffs, and Big D is in the house. How many of you got a chance to read the article in the Naples News on our celebrity, Big D? Oh, wave at me if you did. If you didn't, you need to read that. We're glad to be a part of his life. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Why don't you stand with me one more time and just lift your hands and just worship. We're going to go right into the Word here. This is kind of unusual. Just close your eyes and lift your hands and just worship Him just for a moment. I love you, Jesus. Describe to Him words of adoration. I love you, Lord. I worship you. Glorify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, why don't you stretch your faith this way and pray for me. Father, I worship you. I pray for them. As they pray for me, thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth and on this earth as it is in heaven. So give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory both now and ever. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. And as you're seated, you can turn with me, and I'll probably have to find some of this, but I know where it's at. It's Matthew chapter 20, I believe, yes. Since you've heard it so many times, don't run away with me. And but listen, just listen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, we're at said 20, but really 20 is part of 19. It's all part of one thing. Let's look at 19. This is Matthew 19, 16. And as I said, boy, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit was back in the sound booth. He's there every service, but He's just given line-on-line instruction. He no doubt wants us to hear this again and again. Hallelujah. Because I'm going someplace in 2012. How about you? I refuse to stay the same. Hallelujah. I said I refuse to stay the same. Hallelujah. Amen. And to do that, you just got to be willing to be purged. That's all. And one of those songs that we were singing, at, I don't know how the words were, but basically the essence of the truth was when you yield to it, it's able to happen. At least that's my part in it. That's what I'm hearing. It's easier. You fight it and you fight it. You know, JoJo wanted his Nana this morning. He was up here pitching a little one for his Nana. Well, there's a time in your life where you're a baby, but then there's a time where you grow up. And He said, strong meat belongs to them that are full age, who by the reason of the exercise of their senses have come to maturity. They've come to that maturity. David said, I have calmed and quieted my soul. My soul is as a weaned child. As a weaned child. Well, in Isaiah 28, when he talked about what tongues do for us, he said it was line on line, precept on precept. But he talked about in it that it was, this is the thing that causes the quieting, the extinguishing of all the noise. And once you grow up, you'll go through a fitful time. I got to have it my way. It's like you want everything Burger King. You want everything your way. But then He starts offering you sonship, which is yours all along. And then you have to start making those choices of giving over your will to His will. But as long as you fight it, you're miserable. You're miserable. But then when you just yield to it, then the fear goes away, because everything that He is everything that you are. Or everything that you are is everything that He is, and you don't have to be afraid anymore. Because Satan can't penetrate that. Well, there was one that came to him in 19 and in verse 16, and he said, Behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now you've got to understand that this young man, this rich young ruler, he had been keeping the law, and the law was righteous. He should have been keeping the law. And there was no other way for him up until that point to be saved. There's a tremendous transition taking place. Everybody that had kept the law up until Jesus' resurrection, that's right, they should have. And this man is going to testify of himself. He saith unto him, Which one of the laws? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I? Boy, he probably was feeling pretty good at this point. He was probably feeling pretty good. Needless to say, his whole world was going to come down. Because here's the thing, if you come to Jesus and you ask Him an honest question, He's going to give you an honest answer. And He's never going to beat around the bush. And He's never going to, like if Otto comes to me and says to me, Pastor, my finances are horrible. They're just horrible. I mean, I can catch a cold, but I sure can't catch a break on my finances. I can't catch it. I mean, it's just terrible. Well, Otto, well, then in the next two paragraphs, Otto starts just out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It does. And what that's saying is, you can cover up something, but after a while, when you relax, you're going to say what you feel. And sometimes you'll say something, I'll say something, and I'll say, oh my goodness. And Candy will say, it was in there somewhere, wasn't it? She's heard the message. I don't like it. I didn't gag this woman. She don't. The Bible says women shouldn't speak in church anyway. So. He's been hearing his wife speak some things too. If Otto comes to me and says, my God, Pastor, I'm trying everything. My finances just won't get fixed. Well, Otto, let's brainstorm for a while. Have you put out any flyers? Have you did this? Have you done that? Have you claimed your scriptures? Well, I'm doing all that. I'm doing all that. But let me just pick on somebody good looking like Homer, okay? Then we relax over lunch. So, well, I'll keep this in prayer every time I think about it. You didn't know you sitting up here on the front row, you're going to get picked on, did you? So we're sitting at lunch, and right out of the blue, he just starts talking about. He doesn't claim it as an offense, but man, he just starts talking about a problem that he has with Homer. I just don't know about him, Pastor. I know y'all call him a pastor every once in a while, but I'll tell you, the man doesn't have enough authority in what he's walking in to be, y'all, what? And on and on and on and on. And all of a sudden, I realize, wait a minute. We're dealing with, where did this come from? Where did this come from? Well, have you talked to him about it? Because see, now here's the thing. Remember this. When I come to you and I start telling you what Otto did, to see what his response, because he's a word man. You know what he's going to tell me? Have you talked to Otto? And I say, no. Well, then he says, it's illegal for me to talk to you. Because if I start commenting at all before you've talked to Otto, then I'm in jeopardy. Because I'm in pretense. I've started saying something. My advice to you is you go talk to Otto. Now we got everybody in the church mad at each other, don't we? And y'all come in here happy. So Otto rants for about 20 minutes over lunch. I can't even eat my, I can't eat my what's a good Mexican? What is the tripe stuff that you, manoodle, yeah. I can't eat it. I'm listening to his offense. And after he gets done, I'm like, whew, have you talked to him? No, I haven't talked to him. I'm too mad to talk to him. Okay. But Pastor, before he leaves, he's back on his finances. Do you know, for me to walk away and say, Otto, I'm going to pray for your finances, is a lie? I just stepped into a lie with him. Because what he cannot recognize is he thought it wasn't that he wasn't claiming the promises that was keeping back his finances. He thought it wasn't because he was walking in a level of unbelief that was keeping back his finances. If I know the root, if my eyes are opened, not that I'm perfect, but if I'm sitting there saying, wait a minute, it's your offense with your brother that's blocking God from being able to get across to you your financial blessing. Because everything he does for you and to you is through love. And if you close up love, you've closed up the only avenue that he has to get blessings over to you. You can't stand over here and say, God, I'm believing you for my finances, and be mad with somebody over here. But Jesus wasn't like that. He wouldn't skirt the issue. We're going back now to Ephesians, speaking the truth in love. If I walk away from that appointment, he drops me off and I say, I'm going to be praying for you and claiming those promises this week. I might as well have spit in the wind, because it just came back to me. But if I say, Otto, I can tell you how to get that breakthrough. Go see your brother. And when you leave, make sure it's all under the blood. Then go to the promises and lift up the promises and say, my God shall supply all of my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Then, Otto, then watch the difference that takes place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's how Jesus was. I hadn't even got nowhere near to where we're supposed to be going. He's taking side journeys, I can tell, this morning. He says this, all these things have I done. What do I lack? And he says, if you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Wow. Something had him. Something had him. There was something in his heart that wanted God, but there was something that had him. What does the word say? It didn't say money was. It said the love of it was the root. The love of it. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, truly I say unto you, that the rich shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And of course, he wasn't talking about a seamstress needle. He was talking about a very narrow gate that was part of the entering of the city, which we won't go into that example this morning. But that was the example, saying it's difficult. And the pack animal, the camel, had to empty off everything to go through. They could go through, but they had to empty off all of their burdens. And for this man, he meant the rich had to love God more than their riches for them to surrender their life. And he says here in 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? I mean, some of these guys were franchise men. They had franchises. They were businessmen, and they had people working for them. And they said, my God. Jesus beheld them and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, aren't you glad that all things are possible? Hallelujah. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we've forsaken all to follow thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, you know, Peter's the one that's going to ask the question. And everybody else is like, you know what? I didn't want to ask it, but I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Jesus said this, truly I say unto you, that ye, those 12 he's talking to now, that have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So there is right there a blessing deferred or given to them, conferred upon them, that's something they get. Right there, we get to witness what those apostles got. And when we get to heaven, we'll see them as that. So we can't change that. And we wouldn't want to, because they lived their life, was part of this word. But then he goes on to describe you and I. And everyone, everybody say, that's me. Every one of us that has, what does he say? Forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, hallelujah, children, lands, for my name's sake. In another place he said, in his own life also, he says, shall receive 100-fold. In other words, you're going to receive everything that heaven has to offer. And guess what? The greatest of all bonuses is this. You get eternal life. Hallelujah. You get eternal life. I'm not going to ever die. I'm not going to ever die. I'm getting closer to getting younger all the time. Hallelujah. I'm getting closer to getting younger and all the time. My, you know, as far as the timeline of this life, I may be at that midpoint, but I'm not having a midlife crisis. Hallelujah. I'm not running around trying to discover who I am. I know who I am, and I know where I'm going, and I know whose I am. Hallelujah. And I'm not searching for another one of these, because when you got the best, why would you search for another one? Hallelujah. She says, amen. Praise God. So he says here, but many that are first shall be last. And he's going to give a parable here. And he says, the last shall be first. Now this takes us into all those songs that we were just singing. And this also takes us into a place that Pastor Dave was describing when he was here. something that he brought forth in a parable that you and I know quite well in Luke 16. But he says in verse 1 here, Jesus is going to just reiterate what he's answering these guys' questions, but he's giving them a life parable, a whole life. This isn't just a moment in time. This is a man's whole life. He says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder." Now he's telling these guys, they're not born again, but you got to know that this parable here is not just for their time, it's for the kingdom. We're in the kingdom. So this is how the kingdom works. And it's going to work towards the end, because in the end we get eternal life, plus we get 100-fold. So he's answering the question. Remember, the rich guy just came and he says, "What must I do?" Jesus said, you've got to obey Moses up till this point. And he says, "I've obeyed Moses. I've committed no adultery. I've done none of these things. I do honor my father and my mother." Jesus says, goes right to the heart. He goes right to the heart. Now, I'm not saying that. I'll just bet you. I don't have scripture to prove it. I bet after the resurrection, I bet you he was one of the ones, this rich young man. I bet you he got it straight. I bet you he finally went on in. I bet you that he finally saw. But at this point in time, Jesus went right to the root. This man's trying to justify himself. And Jesus sees that the love of money is where he's at. And he says, "Okay, I'll tell you, you want to justify yourself? Go sell what you have." He wasn't trying to give him a stumbling block to enter in. He was trying to identify with him what it is that's keeping you away from entering into the fullness of God in your life. Well, these 12, they're not born again. But Jesus is saying, when you are born again, this is how the kingdom of God works in regards to rewards. Everybody with me? Okay. He says this, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder," meaning he is a rich man, "which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day," that was a man's wages, he sent them into the vineyard. So he's talking about a vineyard here. He's talking about this rich man owns a vineyard. This is life. This is not only life, it is your ministry. It is your call. It is your gospel entrepreneurship. It is first and foremost you winning souls to God. Because everybody's called to win souls to God. Everybody's called to win souls. But it may be your individual calls. It may be whatever you're called to in the church. Aren't you glad that we're just part of a volunteer army here? We're just brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is where your reward's at, because you're just, by your own volition, you're saying, "I love you, Jesus. I want to join something that's going someplace." This is our vineyard. We're working our vineyard right now. It's not 20 years from now. It's right now. "He went out early in the morning to hire these men." Now, just when they go through the vineyard into the gate, they're born again. They get eternal life. What happens in the next 12 hours is up to them. Because what happens to them in the next 12 hours, which is a lifetime, is what they get in the 100-fold. Whether it's 60-fold, 80-fold, 100, but what's offered to you is the full admiration or the full everything of what heaven is. You get that. But he says here, these that he went out early in the morning, and when they had agreed with the labor for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. "And he went out about the third hour," that's 9 o'clock in the morning, "and he saw others standing idle." This is like a labor pool or someplace that you knew where you could go and find men that wanted to work. They were just hanging out wanting to be used or hired. "He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace," 9 o'clock in the morning, "said to them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you.' And they went their way. And again, he went out about the sixth," that's 12 o'clock noon, "and about nine, the ninth hour," that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, "and did likewise. And about the 11th hour," which is the 5 o'clock hour, that's an hour just before knockoff, "he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, 'Why are you standing here all day?' They said unto him, 'Because no man has hired us.' He saith to them, 'Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive.' So when evening was come," here we go, they've worked 12 hours. It's the end of their life. It's the end of the day. The Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give unto their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Now, here in this verse, he is talking about the chronological order. Later, at the beginning of this, when he said that the first shall be last and the last shall be first, that has nothing to do with the hour clock. It has nothing to do with the chronological order. See, when men look at this parable and they dissect it according to their mind, they're thinking time. They're thinking all these kinds of things according to the natural man. They don't understand it. Jesus is talking about something that you, by your own volition, choose to lose yourself. But you know what? Here's the sad thing. People enter into the kingdom, and at the end of the day, which is at the end of their life, it is possible to live your whole life and never have lost yourself. You still believe at the end of the day, it's all about me. You still believe it's all about me in the way that you go about your life, the decisions you put in front of what God would have you choose, the way you give, the way you choose life, the way you see what your stewardship should be in the things that you've been called to, whether it is in prayer or whether it is in giving or whether it is in governments or any decision that you make that fringes on the behalf of whether or not you can fulfill. See, this is the beautiful part, and I can tell you this part right up front. We all know this, but we can relax. God doesn't take away, He gives. The best mommy you'll ever be, the best daddy you'll ever be, the best provider you'll ever be is when you lose yourself and you put Him first. But He said there were those who they could not find it in themselves to lose themselves for Him. And He hired all these men. And at this verse here, when we get to this verse and He says he said unto his steward, that is the man. What do you call those guys in the field? What's the guy that looks over your crew leaders? Thank you, Kathy. Julio couldn't even think of it. No, he was looking to his wife. You tell him. No. So he calls to his crew leader and he says, call the laborers. Give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. Now here's the stroke of genius. If he says, the ones that were hired at 5 o'clock, start paying them off first. Why? Because the fact of the matter is, those that were hired at 6 o'clock in the morning, they had to. You'd think that he'd say, go pay the ones that come on the clock at 6, because they've been here all day. But what he's doing is he reiterating a litmus test. He's showing them their hearts. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will come to you and he'll say, what would you do with this if I gave it to you? And he asks you a question so you can ponder it. He asks you a question. He already knows the answer, but he, like an oyster shell, or like a clam shell, which one makes the pearls? Oysters. He wants to, the Holy Spirit won't give you, he won't do anything evil, obviously, but he will impregnate something in there and close it back up and say, you go sit and think about that for a while. You know, it's like, Sounds like Moe, Larry, and Curly, Moe, and all the... Certainly. What would I do with $1 million? Or what would I do with this? Or what would I do with that? Now, you can fantasize all day. I'd pay off the church, and I'd give three quarters of the way, and I'd... And he's like, now, would you really? Because what you've got, you haven't been giving me much of that. If I gave you a lot, how come you'd change overnight? Ooh, man. Now you said, Pastor, you just went to meddling. All morning I've been following you. Now I'm just ready to zone out. Let's see, based on how dead I've been up to this point, would I really be that dead to follow you? And he'll come back and he'll, because what he's wanting to do is he's wanting that pearl to form in there. He's wanting you to go to Him not under condemnation, but He's wanting you to come to Him and say, okay, God, purge me. I'm not really sure what all's in there. There may be things in there that would hold back, but keep purging me. Because I really don't know who I am until Your light shines on it. But okay, purge me. Purge me. And when you put your trust on Him, for Him to complete the work in you, it's just as well as it's already done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need some amens. I need to feel like I'm in here together with you. So He said that, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning with the last. Go to the one that got hired at 5 o'clock. Pay him first. Why? Because you're going to, these guys at six, they're down here. They come on. You'd think, he says, go. No, the steward, the crew leader, you know, he's going to go pay them. No. Go pay them first. Well, they've been here all day. No, go pay them first. Because I want to see the expressions on their face. I want to see if in this life they found out that it wasn't all about them. Well, okay, I'll do it. Here's your dollar, or here's your wages, or whatever. That penny doesn't sound too much like to us, but whatever a man's, like if it was a man was used to making $100 a day now or something, that's what he'd be. Okay, here's your $100, here's your $100. These guys are looking down here and they're thinking, he told me he was going to give me $100. Oh, I know, when he gets down here, I'm going to get 200 because I've been here ever since 6 o'clock this morning. Well, he goes right on down the line. He's got 30, 40, 50 of these guys. He's paying off. Here's your 100, here's your 100, here's your 100, here's your 100. These guys down here, see, our natural mind thinks like this. Woo, I come in on this thing at 5 o'clock and I got $100 in my pocket. And these guys down here are thinking like, I come in here at 6, I know I'm going to get 200, maybe 300. Comes right on down the line, boom, 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 boom. Here's your hundred, here's your hundred, here's your... Excuse me. Before you walk away, there has been a mistake. Hello. I have been here all day. He said, I have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Don't you understand? Now, I can see this guy that is the householder. He's probably standing up in a place where he's observing it because he wants to see it. See, at some point in life, he'll put you in the vineyard. You're in there. You're born again. Your DNA, when you cross through this big archway, this is a rose-colored lattice archway going into this vineyard. But when you step into this vineyard, it's not a room like this. It's miles and miles and miles. It's a life. And there's thousands of rows of grapes hanging there. Aisles, rows, whatever you'd call them. Now, once you step in, you get eternal life. That's yours. Hey, I'm inside. I'm inside. I get eternal life. Now, the 12 hours in front of you is your life. That's your life. Now, you stepped into it wanting something. You were hired. Nobody comes to Christ dead, like, I'm not full of me. Everybody comes to Christ full of themselves. Everybody comes to Christ like, what's in it for me? First of all, I want to know I can escape hell. I'm not going to burn. But God doesn't count that as selfishness. He counts that as what He gave His Son for. He wants you back. So the first thing He gives you free is eternal life. Now at the end of this, He says, many are called, but few are chosen. Everybody, the whole world's been called, and everybody that has been called, that hears the call, steps in to the vineyard. Their whole life's in front of them. And they understand that at the end of it, there is going to be a reward, 100-fold. If you stay the course. But let's just say, for instance, that you enter in to this vineyard pushing a wheelchair. Somebody's in it. You're a paraplegic son or daughter. Well, let's say, for instance, you walk into this vineyard crippled yourself or burdened down with depression or fear or anxiety, or you've got a knapsack, and on your in your knapsack is two little arms and two little legs. They're on your back. You're carrying them into this vineyard. Now, he's asked you to go and do his bidding. And sure enough, you're not making some didn't push a wheelchair in, some didn't carry a knapsack in, but some's not, you know, you look down their row and you're saying, my goodness, how long you been in this? A good while. You're not harvesting much, are you? No. And the reason why is because every time they move a foot, they're having to carry their baggage with them. I got all this back baggage and I got all these fears and phobias and all this stuff. But you're still in the kingdom. You're still in it. Now, this good man that is Jesus, this is his vineyard. And you got to know this, that once you come in, as he said in John, everybody that comes in, he's going to purge them, that they bear more fruit. So what he's going to do while you're in this vineyard, he's going to come to you if you can listen and you can receive the Holy Ghost. What he's going to offer to you in this vineyard is this: freedom from all the baggage, freedom from every excuse like I can't labor for you because it's my wife, it's my children, she doesn't come to church with me, he doesn't come to church with me, we fight and we fuss, I've got a problem here, I've got an illness there. He's provided. Because what he wants you to know is this: somewhere while you're picking grapes and doing his bidding, he wants to come down your aisle, lay his hand on you. And whatever it is in your life, he wants you whole. He wants you whole. Once you know that he wants you whole, and once you know that you've traded off all your weaknesses, now, here's the deal. Let's read the rest of this, and it'll make more sense to us. It says, He said, he called the laborers, give them hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they came to that which was hired about the 11th hour, that's 5 o'clock, just before 6 o'clock, they received every man this $100 or man's wages for the day. And when the first, that's the chronological, came, but it's a spiritual example, they supposed that they should have received more. Hey, don't you think you should double our pay? They likewise received every man the same as the guy that got hired at 5. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. And I mean, have you ever been in a place where they're talking, but you know they're talking about you, but they're not talking loud enough, but everybody's, what are y'all talking about over there? Oh, no, we're just talking about something else. Oh, yeah, I can. Yeah. Lying dogs. He said this, saying that these, in verse 12, he says, they've wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which has borne the burden in the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last, even as unto the first. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is your outlook on life, is it evil because I'm good? Is your eye, I mean, what is it? I haven't changed anything. It's your outlook on life, you're the way you're seeing things that causes the offense here. He says this, I do thee no wrong. And he says, take that thine is and go thy way. 16, he said, and the last shall be first. Now here he switches everything. He says, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Many are called, but few are chosen. What he is saying is this: if in somewhere in this vineyard, if I find my life, I'll lose it, that song. If at some point while you're out here working and you entered, because we all entered in, what's in it for me? If at the end of the day, this here, you can erase as far as a natural. See, because in the natural, you're thinking like this. Well, if I did a job all day long, I think it'd be worthy of more too. Forget all that. That was an example to say this. No matter where you came in, if you came in at 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock. That wasn't the essence. The essence was that he had to watch all those people and say, I'm going to observe something. While they've been in the vineyard, did they lose themselves? Does it matter to them or doesn't matter to them what they get out of it? Or were they in it for me? Because he says, many are called, but few are chosen. He said this, the last shall be first. Meaning those up here who chose to make, laid down their life and says, I'll come in last. It doesn't matter because you know what? One day when I was harvesting, you came by me, Jesus. We were about to get a divorce and our life was hanging in the balance. And you came by me and you touched our life. I was over here. Another one said, no. I came in. I was one of those. See, it didn't matter where they were at. I was one of those 6 o'clock guys. It doesn't matter. I was all about, it was in it for me. But he goes, you know what? Let me testify. I'm at the front of the line. I was harvesting and I was full of myself. And I had all this stuff going on and my life was a mess. I mean, I was at times moments from taking my life. And Jesus, somewhere in the vineyard, you laid your hand on me. Now I want to tell you something, Jesus. I was one of those ones over there. My family was sick. I had a sick child and you laid your hand on my child and got my child up. Now my child is whole. I want to tell you something, Jesus. You can keep your wages. You can keep, it doesn't matter. I don't care. The litmus test is this. Can you pass? Did you lose yourself? Does it matter to you what you get out of it or does it not matter? If you come to a place and say, hey, I was laboring in the vineyard and I lost myself because I so fell in love with the one who invited me into the vineyard that it did not matter to me anymore what I got out of it. All that mattered to me was, what is it for him? Because he so changed my life. He healed my marriage. He healed my life. He healed my mind. He healed my children. What's in it? Hallelujah to God. One other quick one. Luke 16. Is that good stuff or what? Verse 1. There was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. You've wasted your goods. Now, I thought at one time, I always read this like the man embezzled it. He didn't embezzle it. He was just wasting it. He wasn't a good steward. It doesn't say that he embezzled it. He said he wasted it. Everybody got a Bible? All right. And he called him, this guy that was the rich man, and said unto him, how is it that I hear of thee? Give an account of your stewardship. For thou mayest no longer be my steward. I'm firing you, buddy. You have not been stewarding what I've given you. Now, this guy was hired to take this man's money and to use it to make this man more money. And then, of course, he got a wage out of it. He didn't live for free. I mean, he didn't do this for free. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? Okay. For my Lord taketh away from me my stewardship. I cannot dig. No, I said, the guy said, like, look, I've been pushing a pencil for 25 years. My back's not going to take digging. I can't dig. So this guy's thinking. He says, to beg? Man, I have worked. I have been, every time that this rich man gets out of his limousine, I get out with him. Now, what in the world disgrace do you think people's going to think? What am I going to do with all these $1,000 Italian suits standing on a corner begging? I can't dig, and I'm sure not going to beg. I've lived too high and too classy to beg. So he says this, to beg I'm ashamed. Oh, I got an idea, an epiphany. Here's my smartness coming to... I'm resolved what I'll do. What are you going to do? When I'm fired, because he gave me a little bit of space here, amazing enough. When I am put out of my stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. I'm going to give myself a redundance, a backup plan. I know what's coming. He said at the end of the month, you got 30 days and you're out of here. Okay, I got 30 days. Let me see. I'm too skinny and frail to dig. And I don't like poor people and I don't want to act like one. That's what he's thinking. And so I know, I know what I'll do. Because I don't have a home of my own. He says, I know what I'll do. I'm resolved that when I'm fired, put out, that they, the people that I've been dealing with, will receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors, and he said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said unto him, well, take your bill, sit down, and write 50. I've got the power right now. He hasn't unplugged me yet. He's got to, if I sign off on this, I've got the power of attorney to sign off. So write down, he says, write down 50. Well, how much did he have? 100. So I'll cut your bill in half. The guy said, you can do that? Yeah, I can still do that up until the 30th of this month. Well, man, you're the best friend I ever had. Don't forget that, okay? Wink, wink, wink. Don't forget that I'm cutting your 10,000 into 5. Don't forget that. Okay, I'll never forget you. Okay, right now. So he did. Then said he unto another, how much do you owe? And he says, 100 measures of wheat. He said, take your bill and write 80. Okay. You mean I can reduce this? Yeah. Man, you're a good friend. Don't forget that. Write it. Okay. And the Lord commended him when he come in at the end. Okay. Bring in all your books. Give me your key to the lockers. Give me everything you got. You're out of here. Oh, you don't get the company card? Oh, do you still have the company gas card? Yes, sir. Give it up. I want it all back. Give it up. Turn it in. And what's your end of the month earnings? Well, I signed off on this guy and I signed off. Here's your money, but they signed off. Do you know what the Bible says? He commended him. Isn't that amazing? He said, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their generation, wiser than the children of light. Well, why would he say such a thing? It sounds such an indictment. He said, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. In other words, use the exchange of money. And this is what I love about worship. Because I see, as Dave was talking, and I believe that you believe this too, this is not a point that we have to preach and pound into you. Your giving is as much, to me, my giving and your giving is as much a part of worship as any other part of worship. Because your giving is intimacy. It is you, it's your earnings, and you're giving it to God out of a heart that's no longer dictated like 10, 20%, 15%. This is intimacy between you and God. This is a rapport that takes place and a consideration that takes place between you and God. See, this is a thing. Now I speak to the mature. And that's all I know is to raise up everybody mature. Oftentimes you'll hear me say, and please don't hold them on the carpet, even if Dave or anybody else that comes in here says, listen to God, whatever. That's all we know right now to say. But you know how the Holy Spirit has trained each of you through me to the best I can as your brother in the Lord. Your intimacy in giving is this. It's not at the moment. It's a consideration between you and God as we understand what true giving is by the New Testament. It's something of stewardship. It's no longer in letter. It's advanced to a place of worship that involves a place of stewardship. And everybody, see, I didn't know this before, but I've known in the last several years, everybody in the kingdom is a steward. Everybody. And maybe in the months ahead, we can prove that to you, or weeks ahead. Everybody's called to stewardship. Now, not everybody's called to the ministry of helps. That's the steward that, for the best I can, I'll tell you for a short version of it, a steward that is called to gospel entrepreneurship or ministry of helps, they're the ones that are willing to take risk for the kingdom, and that they earn great amounts of money, good, big, large sums amounts of money, or whatever God is putting into their life to transfer that right over in to the kingdom. But there, everybody in God's economy, in the new nature, is called to stewardship. In other words, to lord over according to what comes into your life through rapport, what you believe that God would have you to divide to Him and what you should live off of. And the best way, and the reason why I say don't hold people on the carpet either, or me either, I pray, when I say listen, I'm just asking you to listen to the only one that really can give you the wisdom. But if I can grow you up, that rapport is supposed to be taking place in your prayer closet. And it involves accountability. In other words, it involves a place where you're supposed to take the pencil and pen, unless you have a mathematical mind that doesn't have to, where you're supposed to say, okay, God, in fellowship with the Holy Ghost and in wisdom, because wisdom is the Holy Ghost, what is it in my life that I'm supposed to be separating to you? Now, some of you, it's a weekly, some of it's a monthly, some of it's a when it comes in kind of on a contract kind of thing. But what is it that I'm supposed to be separating to you for the exchange of souls coming into the kingdom of God? And that's best done. Here's where I sleep real good, is when you're doing that, there's no necessity. You're not making a midpoint decision in a service. I believe God could speak to you in a service, but I believe the greatest is that when you as a husband or wife, or you as an individual, are sitting in your worship and saying, God, what would you have me to give? What am I supposed to be giving on a continual basis? Now watch what Jesus said about this. He said, and we're almost done, but boy, don't miss this. If you did, you missed the day. He says, make unto yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail. Now, he's not making, Jesus doesn't make bad confessions. He's saying when you come to the end of your life, he says, when you fail, that they will receive you into everlasting habitations. Everlasting habitations is only one thing. That's the end of your life. That's heaven. When you've made friends, the greatest friends you'll ever make is somehow when your dollar so supports a revival or any place that you're giving and it transcends into people getting saved. Guess what? At the end of your life, when you do expire, you're going to be received, and only God can account all this. I can't shuffle all these numbers. Only God can. But at the end of your life, you're going to receive a reward and a thank you and a welcome from God based on what you did in accounting your money for the kingdom of God and making friends. How many of you believe that when you walk into heaven, if your dollar got somebody saved, do you think they're going to hug your neck? If God tells them, hey, only God could tell them, that guy right there, that big, good-looking guy there with the crew cut, he gave the dollar that got you saved. In other words, it kept the ministry going. And I saw that dollar flow when I asked him. He released it, and it got you saved. Jesus says, only Jesus can tell us something about eternity. He says they're going to receive you into everlasting habitations. He says this, he that is faithful in that which is least. How many of you believe that as far as money is concerned, what's more important, a dollar bill or people's souls? Come on, class, help me. I'm going to let you go eat in a little bit. It's not even 12 o'clock. A dollar bill or souls? Which is least, the dollar or souls? Okay, I'm going to stand over here. This is souls. This is dollars. Say least. Say greater. Thank you. This is least. He says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in much. Now he goes back to this steward. This guy was wasting. He's wasting. And he said, if therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, which he calls it unrighteous because it's the least. Who will commit to you the true? And riches is italicized there. It's not, but the true is what? The true is souls. In other words, you want to be able to steward souls? Then what he's saying here is this. If you can't be faithful in those things, here's the beautiful part. It really is, and here's what I love about it. It really is based on sonship. It's not based on the gift in your hand. And how do you know that, Pastor? I can tell you that I know that because it's based on sonship and worship. Because you could have a horrible track record in giving. Or you could have nothing to give, like you were down on your, the world calls it luck, and you didn't have. You could stand right up in the face of your father and say, Dad, I love you. I have not given anything forever, and I don't have anything to give. But I receive, through the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, everything I need right now to survive and go forward in life. And do you know that he would come based on the love and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? But, and catch this, the ongoing stewardship of your life, like when you get out of a place where there's nothing and you have nothing, then listen to what he says. And Jesus says this. He says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the stewardship of souls? In other words, if you don't think it's necessary to use this in wisdom and not wasting it, how is God, as a steward, going to count you? Remember what I said, what he'll do to the pearl? Stick that little thing in there, wrap it up, and go sit on that for a bit. And you're like, oh, you really had to ask me that? I was having a skippity-doo-dah day until you started coming. Somebody says, the devil violated my conscience. Oh, I found out the Holy Spirit will come and tickle your conscience. He'll come and ask you questions. He'll come because he loves us. He loves us. Now watch what Jesus said. He says, if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, guess what is another man's? Souls. The kingdom of God. The vineyard. What we're supposed to be doing is to be being faithful to get them born again. And part of that faithfulness is in our giving. It is. It is in our giving. Who shall give unto you your own? In other words, if I'm in a mess. My sonship will get me out of this. But once you go on and start going forth in life, he asked the question. Jesus asked the question. If you can't find it that it's really necessary to be faithful in stewarding God's money for people to get saved, then he does ask this question. Then how can God come and really, in a real strong operation, get involved in your life to give you your own? And that's not based on giving. Your sonship brings into effect anything for the moment because you believe. But going forward in life, he asked that question. He asked that question. But here's the beautiful part about it. It is on sonship. Because I can go in to a place. I really even hate to take up an offering after a day like this because I think, well, maybe you provoke some consciences. Really, what I'm asking you to do, and most of you, many of you that have grown up have already gone to this place, you're asking God, God, what do I have? And if for the moment you don't have anything, then you're asking God, God, help me to be faithful in another man's because I really want souls to be born again. And guess what? He'll come. He'll come. You know what I found, too, about doing this? I found this horrid thing about myself years ago. Now, I'm not the epitome. I am not the epitome. But I come to a place, let's say, I'll give an example. I could give this example. And I hope to God it doesn't make you set your eyes on me. If you give $100,000 this morning, what are you going to get, Pastor? What are you going to get? A new car? As far as I know, I get my paycheck in the morning. Hallelujah. That's as far as I know. Because I've always done it on a salary. And then years ago, I took and divided the pound and the provision. And so, like, if I get extra, it's because somebody come up and said, you take that home with you. And there will come a day where we're increased, and God will say, hey, your W-2 can go up because of the increase. But if you gave $100,000 this morning, I know what I'm going to do with it. I'll make a big dent in the mortgage, and I'm going to do some other good things. But as far as I know, what I get is my paycheck. But here's the deal. He asked the question, look, it's not taken away. Here's what worship does. Worship doesn't put you in a place of necessity. It puts you in a place where you go in and say, okay, Father, do I? And for the time being, you may not have anything. You may not have anything. But once you do, then He'll begin to put the thing in the oyster, and He'll say, okay, guess what? I'm increasing you as a steward. Can I have some of it? But what He said this, if you scoff that as a steward and say, I'm not interested, then how can He add to it? Because if He adds to it, all you're going to do is you're just going to make your kingdom bigger. That's what He's saying. I can't add to you. In other words, I can meet you on a grace level, but I can't add to you, like really get involved in the prosperity of your life. Because if you don't really care, then how can I add? But here's the beautiful part. When you sit at home and you say, okay, wow, well, all I've got is $5. But here's the horrid thing I found out years ago. I found out a horrid thing. Maybe some of you found out it too. And let me say this about Him. I found out one thing that wasn't horrid. He's better to me than I am to myself. How many of you believe that? He doesn't want you living on a strict. He wants your family taken care of and you taken care of first. And He wants you blessed. He likes you to have a little jingle in your pocket. And maybe some Friday nights out or this or blessings and maybe some to put back. But you know what I found out that was horrid? Once I thought I didn't have what I had. And I did all of this and I put over here. And I said, okay, even if there's a miscellaneous that comes up, I found a horrid thing. I found out that there was a space there that was being wasted. And I couldn't even account for it. And I was saying, oh, I didn't have it. I didn't have it. I didn't have it. And then all of a sudden I realized, now, wait a minute. Even if I let Him be better to me than I am to myself, and I stack that up against what's coming in, what I thought I didn't have is going somewhere. How many are still with me? Hallelujah. And all I'm telling you is it's worship. I never even need to know what anybody's giving. I'm letting you in on part of the vineyard. You're stepping into a place and you're saying, Lord, between me and you, you come and you teach me. And Lord, you change me. And Lord, you do what is necessary in my life. He said this. How do I know that He's talking specifically about this? He said this. No servant can serve two masters, else he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the one. You cannot serve God and money. We're not going to, are we? Hallelujah. We're not going to. Because He's called you. He's called me. And He's called us into a place of going forward in Christ. So don't leave. If you need something before we'll be worshiping God. And so here's the diversity. You can preach on this, switch over, and open blind eyes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. So, Father, I bless this time of giving. And we can hear from you, yes, on an individual service basis. But where we're growing to is all this is separated in worship at home in private prayer closets. And so, Father, we thank you that you bring forth your revival in the earth, and Immokalee is blessed. And we give you all the blessings. And Father, in Jesus' name, amen.